Africa Global Radio. Our story, our growth, our future.
This is How Far podcast. We're talking everyday happenings in our lives. Now, the environment, and the reason why I decided to talk about the environment on this maiden episode of our podcast, How Far, is because we're actually living in an environment that breeds life into us. But we go about minding our own business every now and then. You're not even permitting your neighbor or your friend close by know what your dealings are about. Fair enough. However, what about your environment that if you do not consciously take care of, adversely affects you and also your next door neighbor? So that is you harming yourself and harming someone else who is minding their own business, because now the society is about me, myself, and I. But then I am not doing this discussion alone. I have an honorable man who is very, very well vested in this space of environmental matters. He's an environmental advocate. He's a horticulturalist. He's a Pan-African and works at the Department of Parks and Garden here in Ghana. Talking about Edem Kojodo, who is my my longtime friend. Chairman.
Hello, Barry. Thank you so much for inviting me once again to your space. And I'm grateful for always giving the opportunity to be part of your space.
Thank you. Thank you.
Which is global.
So, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, who better than you to run to when we are stuck in the mud and we need to get out when it comes to matters of environment? For me personally, I think you've been in it for so long that I think you have gathered the necessary, you know, knowledge and still gathering to be able to, I mean, allow us go down to the street. But this time, I won't make you carry him go to the street. How far, my people? We don't reach enough for there. Because they talk every day, we talk about environment, matter. Nah, big men, they go, they sign treaties, COP24. You know, I mean, my guy. But I say, like, every now and then, we talk about stuff relating to environment. If I say, the average man no be part. Like, we know they consider them. I don't know why.
Well, you know, we say we don't consider them. The fact is that we for be intentional. What I would do. You see, every day they talk about I go work.
Yeah.
I go do. So you see, say if you want a conscience, we take go do.
Yeah.
Your conscience will go search money.
Yeah.
So why are you not conscious of who you are, which is the environment?
Mm.
So for me, I would talk, say your health, your environment, you will be conscious.
Mm.
And every living being must be conscious of who or she is.
Right.
If you're conscious about making money,
mm-hmm.
you're conscious about who is from where, who is doing what. Why should you not be conscious about who you are as a person? So it be so for
this. So if you say this environment matter, like we know the talk about I'm from home, where you go see your kiddie carry politics by go throw outside, then it'd be cool. Like what be the problem? We like say, well, African environment, like environment matter knows. Till today, 21st century, 2023, people still pour garbage for running water when it rain.
Maybe if we get to a point, people need to feel brief. People need to feel chop. People need to feel walk around.
Mm.
Probably we will not take the environment for granted. But I feel like I say now, everybody, they move around. They do their own thing. But with a brief.
But why would the figure say,
if
like...
you choke, you go... You
but why would the figure say, like, still now, people for our society know they give a hoot about, like, you wake up morning tea, you they breathe, but you know they come in mind, say, with a green leaf or the tree where they my house inside, where they give me that, you know. Every time, I feel say that this feel say, that thing, it be school matter, it be suit and tie. Why say people they feel like that?
Yeah, you know, with school matter, the whole issue be say, you see... Let's be frank and let's be honest. They should be saying, we know to buy the air with the brief.
At all.
And everything free, people take it for granted. So until probably we start buying air, we start putting gas in our noses to breathe, then people go wake up and be conscious of their health, of their environment. Because be like, say, nobody they buy them. You wake up, God give you life.
Mm.
You are breathing. You know, they see the value. But until you start buying the air will breathe, where people will start to be conscious. And probably people they throw rubbish, politics, nobody they care. But you get your point, when you don't have that space, they go see, say people will start to care. You don't need to go sit in a classroom to be talking about you. You don't need to go into a classroom. You don't need to go into an office with a tie and say you are discussing your environment. The environment is all about you and I.
Right.
And as always say, you are the environment. The environment is you. So whatever you do to the environment, you are doing it to yourself. So we must first of all understand this consciousness that if you say you be the environment be you, then that time you go see, say no, you go pay attention.
Where that conscientization for starts? Classroom or house?
That one is from birth. Because classroom not give you air to breathe.
Obviously.
Classroom not give you your health.
Yeah.
Classroom not put the basic life necessity into your pocket. And classroom will not teach you where to dump your rubbish. Classroom will not teach you that when you cut a tree, you are cutting yourself. Your life and your consciousness should tell you that. It is basic knowledge. You don't need a degree to tell you when you cut a tree, this is what is going to happen. You don't need a degree or a classroom to tell you that you need trees to stop the basic things that stop us from breathing. You don't need a classroom to tell you that to get food to eat, it comes from the environment or the plant. If you don't go buy a banana, if your classroom don't go tell you, say, banana, be this.
No.
You don't say, this be banana.
Yeah.
If you are going to buy a mango, is it the classroom to tell you, this mango, this is how it is? No, it's basic.
Yeah.
If you don't go buy food, maybe they need to go buy gobe.
Yeah.
I for not tell you, say, gobe, it's from a plant. If or not.
Yeah, obviously.
So that is basic. So if you not say gobe, if you chop gobe, either you go seti, you go get good health, you go get all the nutrients you need in gobe.
Yeah.
You don't need a classroom to tell you that there's palm oil in gobe.
Yeah.
That gives you the necessary vitamins.
Yeah, there's cassava in the curry.
You understand? You don't need the classroom to tell you that the beans you take gives you protein in the gobe. You don't need a classroom
a
to tell you that.
It's from plants.
It's from plants. So this is what we should be telling. You see, we should bring ourselves back to the basic. We should be practical with our lives. It's not about sitting in the classroom. It's not about putting bow and tie and saying, "Oh, for me, if people are going to sign some
treaties, we sign. The treaties we sign and look for Ghana. I mean, I say we sign treaties pass any
everywhere.
We did.
And as I always tell people, see, in Ghana, we have the best of policies and laws. But the main point is the implementation. And you don't need the man at the Jubilee House, the man in office, the professor in the classroom to tell you that the treaty I'm signing is for you. No, you don't need that. All you need to do is you have to be conscious of yourself. Then we are good to go.
But my problem is, see, so the Kobe seller for the street top. How in where thing we go make that guy understand, say, Charlie, some practices they way it do, we be see, it go fear, it be bad, it be pollution. How we go fit? Because you go see the Kobe seller for the street, my guy. You buy your Kobe seller, say, Charlie, what be your assessment of our environment? He go start to talk something else.
Yes, yes.
Like, I go fit tell you, see, like 60-70% of people with the Ghana, I stand to be corrected, know the bab dangers related to environmental matters.
Sure.
So who is to blame?
In this case, nobody is to be blamed. I've moved away from complaining and blaming people to acting. So what I urge is that people must understand that at the end of the day, when you blame somebody, we are not solving
the problem. Yeah, that's true.
So let's find a way to communicate the importance of the coconut seller, keeping the environment healthy, and at the same time, making the coconut seller understanding that all that he's dumping and polluting the environment is not waste, but it's worth in transition. Worth in transition.
Okay.
If I sell coconut to you, you only drink the water, eat the flesh in the coconut. But the waste you think is waste is even money. Because I can convert that coconut husk into cocoa peat. That can be used to grow even the banana you eat, the mango, the tomato, the pepper you eat. I can convert that coconut husk into what we call coconut peat. or cocoa peat
okay.
into compost, which I can use to grow plants. Mm. So if the coconut seller understands that, he's not just selling coconuts for you to drink.
Wow.
He's also having an extra income from keeping
from that waste he thinks
it is. So I don't call them as waste. I call them materials in transition or what in transition. So you sell coconuts, you again mobilize what you think is waste and turn it into money again or into what. So that's what we should be thinking about.
So by that you talk about something like proper waste management.
Exactly.
But would they do that? If you watch...
In that case, I don't even call it waste management. It's about understanding that it is worth in transition.
Okay.
It's just worth in transition.
Mm.
You may see as waste management,
mm-hmm.
but you are actually transiting waste into money.
So it's a recycle process. Wow.
So the coconut seller must understand this first.
Mm.
Then the coconut seller must also understand that apart from it being waste in transition or materials in transition, he's also conserving the environment. Because if he's able to gather all this waste he thinks it is, mobilize it, then somebody go process some, then grow coconut again.
Yeah.
So I've always told people we should be thinking about sustainability, not survival. So sustainability should come in this point because if I'm selling coconuts and I degrade the environment, will I get coconut to get
no.
to the street and sell again?
I don't think so.
But if I translate this into compost for them to regrow the coconut again, for me to keep getting my coconut fruit to sell, then we can be thinking about world and sustainability and not survival.
Where do we start this whole conversation? Because recently, I believe you definitely saw it on the news. How did we get to the part, say, Accra had the most polluted city in the world? Like, how is that? No, wait, to be honest, like, when I saw the news, I was like, oh boy, where KZD? China.
Yeah.
Very, very massively industrialized. These be places you go, Beijing.
Yeah, Beijing.
Or maybe places like Detroit in the USA. I mean, these be places where, like, where the things say more. How did we get here? Accra.
Yeah.
Where botanical garden just there here, no? You know if you suck all the...
Yes. The botanical garden is limited in terms of carbon sequestration or what we call absorption of pollutants. For instance, if you turn Accra into a concrete jungle, that's what is going to happen. Because people even must understand that in building a house, before you can call it a home, there must be a garden.
Every home?
There must be a garden.
Any house because you want to build.
You can't be in a house and say you not eat. You eat, right?
Which one, obviously.
So why can't you create that enabling environment to give you that consciousness?
But
For instance, if Accra is moved from being concrete jungles into urban forestation, and you don't need money to create urban forestation. All you need is your mindset. You just have to be intentional
about it.
So if I build a house and I grow grass or plant around the house, one, I'm solving a multifaceted problem.
Like?
One, I'm curbing flood.
Okay.
Because if I create concrete in my house, if there's heavy rainfall,
you know, go get place pass, obviously.
There's no penetration. But if I create a lawn, these lawns absorb this water and also reduce the effect of the rainwater, runoff. There, you are solving flooding problems.
Issue. Okay.
Two, when you do concrete jungles, if the sun shines, the heat at night bounces back to you, so you feel warmer.
Yeah.
But if there's a lawn or a grass in your home, this absorbs the heat, cools the temperature for you, and you enjoy a healthy environment.
Mm.
And then three, you're also solving the issue of environmental degradation.
Okay.
Because the moment you start bringing into living plants into your environment, you are improving biodiversity, where you have other elements in the environment playing their own role. Today we are talking about zoonotic or zoonosis, that's zoonotic diseases, like lava fever, like coronavirus. These natural things take care of these zoonotic diseases.
Okay.
But the moment you start invading these spaces and creating concrete jungles, you are taking
you're
away.
You're exposing them you're to exposing us. True. Okay.
All these diseases to human beings. Because these things take care of themselves environmentally.
Okay.
So, for instance, if you have a biodiverse environment, you don't need to go curbing zoonotic diseases.
Yeah.
They take care of themselves with other diversity in the environment. So, in this sense, when you stop concrete jungles, you are solving a lot of problems indirectly and directly. So this is where...
How are we going to take some concrete of Accra? Everywhere they buy land, do.
Yes. So if I'm buying land,
yeah,
and I know if I put concrete all over the house, these are the problems it's going to cause, then why should I even waste my time? Even these concrete jungles are even expensive.
Yeah.
To put up.
Yeah, I know. Be true.
How much is a bag of cement?
Charlie.
How much is a bag of iron rods?
A ton of iron rods. Yeah.
How much is a bag or a truck of
sand?
Sand, chippings.
Mm.
But you don't need that much to create an urban forest.
Wow.
Even a tree can make an impact.
As the news come for Accra, the most polluted city in the world, you be somebody with day in the middle of this whole, like, you be like, you day messy, you day plated, you day mid. Your departments, you know, parks and gardens, you day at the highest places in office and everything. But within your environment, how you feel? Like, if you say you po not do enough, or you feel say like, now it's time to double up the action. What do you feel?
One, I feel sad. Two, I feel challenged. Sad in the sense that people are not intentional with their own lives. That's a sad aspect. But the challenging aspect is that we must let people understand themselves, that self-awareness. So that challenge now is for myself and my department to double up the actions, to double up the public education, which I'm doing right now, creating the awareness for people to understand that this is it. Accra cannot be polluted or we'll be working in it. We must find solutions to this polluted zone in Accra. And it's simple. Please grow more trees, put more plants in your home. Try to make sure that turning the concrete jungles into urban forest so that we all can enjoy the fresh air, purified air in our homes, at our workplaces, because every day people are moving. So we must make sure that these polluted environments are kept through our efforts. And the issue is about intentionality. You can't do things, but these things are not automatic.
No, but if you don't know the importance and the reason why they do something, why you go do that?
That's where the department must double up its public education.
Engagement, okay.
Public awareness of what is happening. And this must be a multifaceted collaboration from all agencies. Mm. We must harmonize the way we work as government institutions. Mm. It doesn't take an effort of only a department to make this happen. It must take various stakeholders, even our chiefs, our imams, our pastors must put this as part of their sermons in their mosques,
in their
churches. Because at the end of the day, you and I go and sit in the church. You and I go and pray in the mosques. You and I move to the markets. You and I move to our elders, our chiefs in our traditional settings.
Yeah.
It must be part of their daily admonition so that people must be conscious. You and I have parents at home. Parents must take as a challenge to speak to their children, to speak to their families about the importance of keeping this environment.
Somebody will say...
So it's a collaborative effort.
Somebody will say, black man, yeah, no matter how you tell him, you no go do, unless you carry unless you stand with something penalizing before you go fee, adhere to whatever you call her for. You go fee be say, like, as we talk every day for telling people go do, people still they burn rubbish for them at houses.
So the question at the bees be say, blacks don't live in Europe.
And maybe they, Abby, as they
blacks
travel,
don't live in
But as
in
they travel, maybe they go adapt to the culture for there.
So has somebody forced a black man to not dump waste in the United States? Has anybody forced a black man not to cut trees in China, not to pollute water bodies in the Western world? Nobody has forced them. It's just a system that must be created. So that's why I first began by saying that we forget all the stakeholders on board. Forestry Commission, EPA, the opinion leaders, traditional leaders, our imam, our clergy, all together to make sure that they preach this every day. At a point, people will get to understand that you don't do this and go scot-free.
Okay.
And we must move away from the concept that if I get a problem, if I messed up, I must go to Barry to talk to some powerful man, powerful woman.
So people, for they pay for their crimes, for their wrongdoings.
People, it's not about people pay for their crimes. People must take responsibility and account for what they do. Then we'll move forward and make things happen. And the environment will not be polluted again.
Interesting. Now, how far we did here? I mean, I did here with one big man, a person who will be very passionate about the environment, of course, not just in Ghana, not just in Accra, but the whole of Africa. Adam, could you do? I mean, this guy, every now and then. I remember when I used to visit you at the, what do you call it? Ibrigard. Yeah, I mean, you see this interesting, you know, threads of green nature, beautiful everything. Sure. So, you know, if you create something like that for what do you call it in various regions, is it possible? Say, if you put something like that, like intention, as you said before, be intentional about stuff we do. You know, if you do like maybe Tamale, we get something like that. No,
no, you know, they
so you know, if you be say some, because Tamale, you know, say be savannah region,
sure,
heat, high temperatures. We know if we create something like that, then so say at least every region go fee gets a sent space like that. It'd be possible.
Highly possible. Even Tamale, they used to have a garden because there's still parks and gardens in Tamale.
Okay.
There's the Department of Parks and Gardens. Every region in Ghana has a Department of Parks and Gardens.
So why would I not do?
Okay. The thing is simple. People are becoming greedy. People don't want chop everywhere and then with their both hands. For instance, there used to be a land closer to the Parks and Gardens Department office in Tamale.
Okay.
Where a politician...
Where the land is?
On the Waterways Road.
Okay, the Gurugu side.
Yeah, Chogu.
Chogu, Road. Okay. Yeah, see that. Right.
So you find out that this land was reserved for urban garden, where people can walk to as a park, sit and refresh themselves.
Yeah.
But a politician somewhere feel like, I can make money from this. Why don't I sell it for a filling station to come and create a filling station when the place is zoned as a green zone? So until people stop being greedy, then we'll move forward. But for now, as we do with the one chop with both hands,
it no go happen. So it means it...
So it is highly possible. So for instance, all the parks you are talking about, every region, today, I will not have AstroTurf everywhere in Ghana.
Yeah, we do.
Was it not intentional?
It was
not the political will.
Yeah.
Was
it not... it'd be intentional. So they made it happen.
It was a policy that let's make playing grounds available for people to play football, do sports across the country.
Yeah.
And there was a policy, an intentional investment in AstroTurf.
Worth millions of dollars.
So I don't see why we cannot also intentionally create urban forests across the country. I don't see why we cannot intentionally create natural parks, gardens in Ghana.
Right.
And these same people who are intentionally creating these policies and investing money travel across the world. And they see what is happening across the world. Today, somebody will tell you, when I went to South Africa, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
What makes South Africa beautiful?
I mean, you were there. What was it? I mean, you were in Johannesburg, right?
Joburg, Victoria.
How would you assess the greenery there?
It's fantastic.
For real?
And it's intentional again.
Okay.
In Joburg, you see these lawns and beautiful flowers planted with trees along the streets, and nobody comes in the morning 6 a.m. And see anybody watching any plant in Joburg. Everything has been automated.
Okay.
So if you want to actually see water gushing out to feed this plant, you must have a walk at 4:30 a.m. That is when you see this automated watering being done.
Wow.
And before you can even see a gardener at daytime working on these plants, then you must go out early or late in the evenings. So it is an intentional part of the city structure. So it is well planned.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell people, nobody achieves anything haphazardly. Nobody achieves anything automatically. You must be intentional.
Wow.
Even in our daily lives,
mm.
you don't just walk and meet a woman and she's your wife. What
you
do?
Have to be intentional. You have to propose. Take time.
Go pay bride price. Mm-hmm. Do all these
things. The needful.
You for your bum. You for the woman.
Yeah.
You for do whatever you for do. If you go lobby even in family
for them
to accept you.
Then eventually,
So why don't you also intentionally create an environment for ourselves? Not for anybody, but ourselves.
Yeah, that'd be the part where they bug my mind.
For ourselves.
We know the Bab say that thing you want to
own. So for the thing we say.
If you know they bring money from our pocket, forget.
If I did here, that they drop things all over.
Yeah.
I know they keep the environment clean. What will happen? Mosquitoes go breathe and bite me. I will get malaria.
Yeah, true.
They will go hospital, don't go treat me.
Yeah.
And do you know how much it costs you just to go even consult with a doctor today in the hospital?
It'd be high, man.
I always tell people, even people who are poor should rather be concerned about their health than people who are richer. Because a poor man, if you go to the hospital, how do you pay for hospital?
How do you pay? Yeah.
Assuming you go to a hospital, that you have malaria, the doctor checks you, maybe they put some few drips and put some few drugs.
Yeah.
We are going to hundreds of Ghana cities.
You know, chop this money, right? They go pay 100 Ghana cities,
400 Ghana, 500, 1,000 Ghana cities
just
for having malaria. So why do you then... Don't you prevent that by keeping your environment clean? Because the mosquitoes don't breed to bite you to get malaria.
Mm.
You are free. You are not spending any money on any hospital bills.
Yeah.
The little you have, you go feed by your gobe and chop.
Yeah.
The little
yeah.
you have, you go feed by your rice and stew and chop.
Yeah.
Why if you use your small money, go hospital again to go treat yourself?
Oh, God. Now, wow.
So if I understand
the matter this, bigo.
Yeah.
But if you look at a place like Rwanda, they be intentional. Then to them, they do them
very
things. It be cool.
Very intentional. No, you know, if you go to America, then London and talk, say, automatically things are happening. It is intentional.
It'll be process, it'll be gradual
in
process.
In every city planning in Europe or in the Americas, they put the component of greenery, urban forest, in that plan. So you can't just wake up and start building anyhow. That they've demarcated waterways, they've demarcated roads, they've demarcated parks, gardens. Schools, hospital. You can't just move anywhere and put anything
building.
There.
Yeah.
Let me use Medina, where you and I have stayed for long.
Mm.
More like our community.
Yeah.
Just show me anywhere in Medina where they've demarcated that this is a park.
I swear it or a garden. You know,
the... But I don't know city authorities.
And look at even where the assembly is. Where the assembly
exactly.
is. Charlie, that place, that'd be where the station is empty. Then.
Yeah.
The cars were there themselves alone.
Look at the number of cars there. So anytime you go there, you see the heat around that area.
Charlie.
See the pollution around that area. It is highly polluted. Highly polluted. So we have to be conscious about it.
And
how can you build a whole station in a community without trees in that station? So how do you solve the environmental problem there?
So it just keeps circulating. And
Barry, you can't tell me you need millions of Ghana city to put 10 or 20 trees. In the Medina station, you don't need that.
But I mean, recently the governments do well now. Then start then, you know,
the issue is
something.
If the city authorities work to Forestry Commission or Parks and Gardens and say this is what we want to do, I don't see why Parks and Gardens will not support them in that direction. Sometimes the services are even free, but people don't go for them. People don't go for them.
Why? Nobody did.
So again,
everybody wants.
Are taken for granted.
Wow.
But when we start paying for them, people will value it. Because when you start buying air to breathe, you'll value it. Look at when Corona struck. Do I need to go and tell you to get nose masks?
No.
You went for nose masks to protect your life.
But so, even recently, I mean, it was even advised by, I think, the EPA for people to start wearing masks. I mean, why should we get to that point?
But the air is polluted.
Very.
It's polluted. So you must spend to protect yourself. When you have all the opportunity to prevent that expenditure.
Should people be fined if they see, say, you did pour water for this and you for pay this amount or you go jail? If they see, say, you did burn rubbish, should we get to that point?
Those laws are already in existence, but the enforcement is the challenge.
So why
Once again, I told you earlier that until our chiefs, our opinion leaders, people
our
in authority, stop standing in for people and letting people take the responsibility
of their actions
and accounting for their actions, then all these issues will be resolved. But when you don't let people account for their actions, people don't take responsibility for their actions, that is what is going to happen.
Finally, let's just, because this conversation, we can go on and on, but what do you think? What are some of the recommendations that you always give? Because we need to keep ringing this as a sound of caution, as a sound of reminder to our people. From the average man on the streets, what do you tell her?
There are millions of solutions, but today I want to highlight on three of them. One, being conscious about your environment. Be intentional, protecting yourself, not somebody. Be intentional. Two, our governance, whether NDC, MPP, whatever, our governments must intentionally invest in urban.
Then my manifesto says they talk about anything environment here.
And the sad part, I was just telling somebody, I need to even start engaging the African Union on the agenda 2063. I don't know what you've heard about.
Yeah.
Interestingly, there's nothing like a green policy.
The only thing they start is the free trade thing. That's it.
So we must be conscious about putting these policies in our agendas, in our African engagement, in our policies. Governments must be intentional in this investment, where we can put city planning at the heart of every policy. And the third one must be that we must continually educate ourselves and the people around us about keeping a green environment, about keeping a free, polluted environment, purified with basic things like plants. These are the three
That's
things.
It. Simple, straight, and short. Straight to the point. I mean, now, wow. But we will continue to talk about these things right here on How Far Podcast. I mean, these conversations, you know, go end today, because every now and then we just need to keep talking about it. Even if you know if you plant a tree, no cut one down.
Sure.
Even if you know if you plant a tree, no poor refuse for water, for running gutter inside. I mean,
if you don't put for gutter inside, it will choke, then come back to you again.
Come back to you again.
Then choke you. So why would you choke yourself? Why you can prevent the choking?
I like the way you start saying the environment now you. You be the environment. So if you consider them as you are, there you go, you know, take good care of them. I mean, an interesting interaction with Edem Kojodo, a Pan-Africanist, environmental advocate, horticulturist. I mean, a man who's very well deep in the matters of environment. I mean, I'm actually honored to have him here. And I want to thank you. Every time we call you, we can't help us make
you.
We have this conversation.
So much,
very because we're not going to stop here. We could continue.
The conversation must continue.
If we continue till at least.
Once again, they always say, until the last tree dies, the last man dies.
Because that'd be what will give you air, wake you breathe.
So when the last man dies, when the last tree dies,
if you say the last man dies. Don't finish with that.
But unfortunately, the last man may die, and the last tree will not
die. Very interesting. Yeah. Okay, thank you, my people. We will come back again with another episode of How Far. And like I said, in an everyday conversation, just to get to our people outside there, make them also understand what's in the going on for life. So, I mean, maybe it's one or two lessons we don't talk about for here. I mean, Mr. Edem Kojodo, don't talk about some of the things we will go fee. You know, vibe to things when I go feel understand the environment. Now you too be the environment. So I beg, I take God beguna, make una just think about your environment now. Things when you go fit it, decompose like polythene. Some of these things make you try, you know, they just throw them anyhow. You know, there's this thing they call waste segregation. You they separate the ones we go feed, decompose, but the one we don't go fit in. So I beg to our waste managers as well, the Zoom Lions and other entities where they manage some of these things. I beg, make una be very conscious. In fact, make una know go there, just they collect dustbin, then they collect money. When I go there, I think make una also they advise them on how to take care of their waste. Because some people go reach the house, if they give half, they go, make them go dump them, half they burn for a house inside, which no be something we before encourage. So I beg, make we try, they be very conscious. Now say, mind your business, but make we all mind our environment. Thank you very much. We'll come back again with another episode of How Far, right here on How Far Podcast. My name, Nat Barry. Bye-bye.
This is an Africa Global Radio production.